Something's got to give. The threat of a U.S. default grows.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. In a televised speech last night, President Barack Obama brought the debt ceiling debate into our living rooms, saying some Republican lawmakers are being unreasonable.
We would risk sparking a deep economic crisis. This one caused almost entirely by Washington.
Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner spoke immediately after, saying the president is asking for a blank check.
The president has often said we need a balanced approach, which in Washington means we spend more and you pay more.
Both men said something has to be done before August 2nd, when the U.S. Treasury says it will run out of cash and could have to default on some of its debts, namely U.S. Treasury bonds. Our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore joins me live. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Heidi, Treasury bonds have been one of the world's most important investments for years. Who exactly owns them?
Well, first you have to think about how a Treasury bond works. It's like a loan that you give to the U.S. government, and we love to borrow. In fact, our borrowing has gone up 90% in the past 10 years. So who's willing to lend to us? The whole world. The Fed owns about 10%. Americans, like your grandma and other people you know, own about 10%. And the biggest chunk is owned by foreign central banks. They hold about half of all the U.S. treasuries.
Wow. So why do foreign countries own so much of our debt?
Well, we've been a safe bet. They need the dollar. It's called the reserve currency. When their currencies go up and down, all the other countries in the world keep about two-thirds of their money in dollars around just to protect themselves. I asked Jeff Cleveland. He's an economist with Payden and Riegel. Here's how he described our current situation.
Well, what if they get antsy? What if they decide they don't want to finance U.S. Treasury? And so far, we're not seeing it. You know, any hints of that. You know, week after week, you continue to see purchases from global investors.
So we're good for now.
Not to sound ungrateful, but why are they putting up with this?
Well, I'm glad to say that we're the only game in town. There are no other options. The only other reserve currency is the euro. That's about 20%. So they have to stick with us.
Heidi Moore in New York. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Stacey.
Well, investors do seem to be exploring their options a bit, at least. They're pouring money into the Swiss franc. The BBC's Imogen Folks has more.
Switzerland may be a small country, population just short of 8 million, but it's also traditionally a very stable one. The franc has risen 30% against the dollar over the last year. Foreign exchange specialist Richard Driver from Caxton FX says traders see the franc as the safest bet around.
The appeal of the dollar and the yen is really taken a downturn, and the Swiss franc is the obvious alternative to those two, and to those investors who want to keep money in Europe but don't want to go for the euro, because there's a genuine chance of a total collapse in the eurozone.
But a strong currency has its downside. Switzerland's tourism industry is suffering. Foreign visitors are staying away, while the Swiss are neglecting their own resorts in favour of cheap holidays abroad. In Switzerland, I'm the BBC's Imogen Folks for Marketplace.
Global investors have faith the debt ceiling issue will be resolved. And that's got markets on the rise this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. And Netflix says the fee hike it's rolling out is going to cost it. Shares of the movie rental company fell 10% yesterday. U.S. markets fell as well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 12,592.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Arizona plans to save $500 million by cutting the number of people getting health care through Medicaid. Paul Atkinson has more.
Arizona sent out 250,000 notices this month explaining the change to its Medicaid program. The state is not cutting coverage, it's freezing enrollment for a population most states don't cover, childless adults. So if recipients become ineligible because their earnings exceed the income threshold, they can't renew their policy. The state's Medicaid director, Tom Betlock, says he expects 100,000 childless adults will lose coverage in the first year.
We obviously regret that we have to make these decisions as well, but they are decisions that have to be made because of the economic circumstances we're going through here in the state of Arizona.
Arizona voters approved expanding Medicaid eligibility in 2000. Money from the state's tobacco settlement initially covered the additional cost. But now, with one in five Arizonans receiving Medicaid, the state is having to chip in. This year, fully 12% of its budget. At the same time, the state is trying to recover from an historic drop in revenue triggered by the financial crisis.
So with the general fund losing about a third of its revenue stream and the fact that the program grew by 300,000 members during the first couple of years of the recession, those types of fiscal pressures really became unmanageable and unsustainable for the state.
But critics of Arizona's Medicaid cutbacks think policymakers overreacted. Because of the cuts, the state will lose $1 billion in federal matching funds. And there will be indirect costs, says Eddie Sissons of the Arizona Foundation for Behavioral Health.
So, you know, whenever I come in with my kid who's broken her arm, or I come in with, you know, a really allergic reaction for a bee sting, which I'm allergic to, I'm going to just wait longer because the emergency rooms are going to be crowded.
Sissons and others warn all Arizonans will pay higher health care costs as hospitals raise everyone else's rates to cover former Medicaid patients. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
Paul's back tomorrow with the story about a couple who's just about to lose their Medicaid coverage. And finally, you know all those fees that show up on your cell phone bills? Well, here's a little schadenfreude for you. Los Angeles is suing AT&T for failing to pay nearly $5 million for a, quote, communications user tax. Well, maybe if AT&T has to sit on the phone for a few hours trying to find out what exactly a communications user tax is, we could call it even. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Just getting a paycheck in the land of 9.2% unemployment is a blessing, right?
The lowest number of deaths is a day before the first, and then there's a large spike in mortality on the first of the month.
Or maybe not. I'm Kai Ryssdal, the curse of the paycheck, the numbers from Wall Street, and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.